This week, we are looking at Luke 11, and it's verses 1 through 13. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how much to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our speaker this morning is no stranger to this service. It's the wonderful Mark Kostick, who has kindly recorded his teaching for us this morning. So we're going to enjoy that now.
Good morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And may we hear today what you want us to hear. Amen. Ask and it shall be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. I have to say that one thing I don't miss about my working life is having to deal with the annoying and persistent client. Some of the worst were ones who are on the case every day. I was just phoning to check that you got my email of 2 minutes ago. And thinking back to my school days, why was it that it was the constantly naughty and annoying child that seemed to get all the attention from the teacher? And there's another episode in the great life of Basil Fawlty. Of course, there's no truth in the rumours that my office was run on Fawlty Towers lines, but here we go anyway. Sybil, his wife, is in hospital, having left Basil detailed instructions on various things. There's new guests to welcome, a fire drill to be organised, and a fine moose's head to be put up in a prominent place in the hotel. Basil's just left the lobby desk to attend to the latter when the phone rings. "Yes, Fawlty Towers, yes, hello. I was just doing it. I just put it down to come here to be reminded by you to do what I'm already doing. I mean, what's the point of reminding me to do what I'm already doing? I mean, what's the point? I'm doing it, aren't I?" "Yes, I picked it up, yes. No, I haven't had a chance yet. I've been at it solidly since I got back." "Yes, yes, I will. No, I haven't yet, but I will, yes. I know it is, yes. I'll try and get it cleared up. Anything else? I mean, would you like the hotel moved a bit to the left? Oh, yes, well, enjoy the operation, dear. Let's hope nothing goes wrong." To get home his message, Jesus, as we know, often used a parable. So in our story today, here's a traveller arriving late to avoid having to walk in the heat of the day. Recently, of course, we've experienced a little of what that might be like. In those days, hospitality was a sacred duty. So Jesus' listeners would have understood the problem that the householder faced, with nothing to offer his guest. So what does he do? He knocks on his friend's door. Any chance you could lend me 3 loaves of bread? And the answer comes, don't bother me. I've locked up for the night. Kids are tucked up in bed. I'm not getting up even for you, my friend. I guess we can sympathise with the neighbour. For him, it wasn't as simple as just popping downstairs to the fridge or the larder. This were a typical house of in a village of the time. The family would have been sleeping together on the upper level with their assorted livestock on the ground floor. Yet the man who needed the bread for his visitor just kept on knocking with persistence. Or as the NIV version has it, with shameless persistence. Until the friend, probably just to get rid of him, grudgingly rolled out of bed and handed over the bread. A parable means literally something laid alongside. Sometimes, as in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus is saying, well, you've heard that story, that parable, go and do likewise. On other occasions, as here, Jesus is using a parable by way of contrast. He's saying, look, if a grumpy and reluctant neighbour is badgered by his friend's shameless persistence into giving him what he wants, how much more will God, who is a loving father, supply what his children need? So when speaking with and praying to God, we don't need to act like the householder. The same point is made in the last few verses of our passage. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Heavenly Spirit to those who ask him? So, for us, it's not a question of trying to wring concessions from an unwilling God. All right, then. Like the annoying client pestering me so often that I was forced to fetch his file from the darkest recesses of my office and bring it to the top of the pile. Or Basil being harried by Sybil until he got his task done. Rather, we're approaching a loving God who knows what we need, even before we ask. As an aside here, we might ask, well, why bother to pray then? Well, as we know, God is a God of relationship, a relationship we can have with him through Jesus, our friend and saviour. Prayer, talking to God, in other words, is part of that relationship. In the same way that conversation is part of a healthy relationship with our partner or spouse, our friends, our family. And let's also note 3 points here. Firstly, in answer to his disciples' request for teaching about prayer, Jesus says to them, when you pray. When, not if. Secondly, at the end of the parable, Jesus says that the householder is given what he needs. That's what he needs, not what he thinks he wants. And in the fuller version of the Lord's Prayer, which we most often pray, the third line is, your will be done, which is one reason that prayer isn't always answered in the way we expect. None of this is to say, of course, that we shouldn't speak earnestly, honestly and passionately to God, as we might do to our partner or friend, whether that be out loud or just in the quiet of companionable silence. In the words of Christian writer William Barclay, we go to God as one who knows what we need even better than we do ourselves, whose heart towards us is one of generous love. If we don't receive what we pray for, it's not because God grudgingly refuses to give it, but because he has some better thing for us. Ask and it shall be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Amen.